Lon Milo Duquette with us. We'll take your calls this hour as we talk about magic and mysticism. His latest book is called Son of Chicken Kabbalah. That we'll find out where you can get it in just a moment as well. Welcome back, Lon Milo Duquette with us. Lon, your book, the latest one, Son of Chicken Kabbalah, where do you get the book?
Well, you can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and any retail book website, and you can get it in brick-and-mortar stores all over the country.
Perfect. Now, give us your overview before we go to calls about the tarot cards. Can they foretell the future?
Well, first of all, in a way, yes. Okay. But there's a big caveat to that, and that is that the future, as we think of it, doesn't exist. Time, as we think of it, doesn't exist. There's just a very narrow window of consciousness where we think of things in terms of past, present, and future. But the idea that we can somehow, we have the ability, everyone has the ability, the psychic equipment to potentially tap in to get enough information on the tendencies of what's happening, is going to happen, to get a reasonably good idea of what appears to be sort of a forecast of the future.
Do you read tarot cards, Lon?
I do. It's sort of a big part of my
interesting
my thing.
If I have a deck of tarot cards, and I think I have some here in the studio, and I pull the card and tell you what it is, can you say something about it?
George, I can say something about anything.
Okay. So maybe we'll do that about, can we do it about individual callers too? Let's say somebody calls in and I pull a card.
Okay.
We'll have some fun doing that too.
All right.
Hey, tell me a little bit about your music work. What kind of music do you play?
Well, I write my own songs. So I do everything from the point of view of a songwriter. That's what I did back in the 70s. And I became a recording artist as a way to display my songs.
Do you sing or do you play an instrument? What do?
I sing and I play guitar, and there's all sorts of YouTube videos out there with Lon Milo Duquette doing my thing.
Do you do any kind of songs that we would know too, in addition to the ones you write for yourself?
Well, you know, I don't. It's. I tell people that life is. I'm 71 years old, or almost 71.
71 years young, Lon, not
That's
old.
Right. But anyway, at that age, life is getting too short for covers. So I just do my own.
I sing at our live events. I've got one coming up on March 23rd in Everett, Washington, and I, Tom gets me a local band.
Oh, George, I would love to see that.
We got to do that one. Where do you live? What area?
I live in Newport Beach, California.
Newport Beach, okay. Yeah, you got to work that out with Tom somewhere at some event or something that we're at. Do you ever go to Contact in the Desert?
No.
Well, you need to do that next coming year. It's going to be end of May, beginning of June, and I may sing there too. So.
Oh, great. Well, yeah, keep me posted.
I do the kind of like the older stuff. I do some Elvis stuff and Sinatra and things like that. Show tunes, I love them.
Oh, very good. You know, I was chosen as one of the 10 finalists in the Scottish Rite, you know, the Masons.
You don't play the bagpipes, though, do you?
No. but there's a thing called a telethon every year, and they broadcast it there from Washington, D.C. And so I was one of the 10 finalists in the Scottish Rite Has Talent. And I sang my two songs. She Don't Know Where the Money Comes From is one.
You wrote that song?
Yeah, that's my song. And Don't Write Me Off. And I had a great time.
Now, are the songs like folk songs, or what's the theme of your kind of music?
Well, it's in style. You'd say they're folk with a little jazz overtones to it, but it's pretty much it's lyric driven. The songs are you're supposed to hear the words. The words are where the message is. And I play pretty well. I've been playing since I was 14.
Good for you. Good for you. Did your parents kind of push you in that direction?
No,
or did you did that on your own?
I had to push them to get me a guitar, I tell you. So.
We are our dear friends with Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Oh, wow.
Who is, I think, the best living guitarist right now. He always said Jimi Hendrix was the best ever. Hendrix would say it was Billy Gibbons, we're dear friends. Tom can get you in touch with him one day. He gave us a gift one day, an x-rayed picture of his guitar hand. I wonder what that's worth, huh?
I don't know. What a cool gift.
Somebody make me an offer. Send me an email. I'll sell it to the highest bidder.
Oh,
but who knows? But anyways, I've got some tarot cards here.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have, when we go to callers, we'll let them ask you a question, and then we'll do one tarot card for each person, and just keep it relatively short, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right. So here I'm going to shuffle the deck here. And I'm picking a card for me, and it is Five of Staffs, whatever the heck that means.
Oh, that'd be the Five of Wands.
Okay. What is that?
Well, the Five of Wands is...
What's this mean to me?
There might be some quarreling going on or some conflict in your general... Your general vicinity. It's kind of a struggling card. It usually means there's a fight of something going on.
Hmm. Not yet, but maybe it is something that could be.
Oh, absolutely.
So I need to be aware of that.
Yeah, and there's also dates that are associated with every one of the small cards too. So the date for the Five of Wands is
interesting. It's fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it's like between July 22nd and August 1st. So it might have something to do, pointing us to some kind of a conflict that was going on back in July.
Interesting. Okay, to the calls now we go. Let us pick it up by going to David in Maryland to get things started. Hello, David.
Howdy.
Good to have you with us. Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. George, I'm going to ask you, please do not do a tarot card for me.
You got it. It is it's up to you.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks, I won't.
Oh, David, if you only saw the one I had. No, I'm kidding.
Nope, I don't want to know.
All right.
Anyway, the reason I was calling tonight, now there's, y'all was talking about the possessions and the demons and so forth that take over our bodies, some people's bodies. And I know where these come from, and I know what they're about. They come from our Father above, and it's because of our disobedience.
Do you think he sends them to us?
Oh, I know he does.
Interesting.
I'm 100% positive. All powers are from above, of God, and that even includes the powers of Satan. Okay, these are Satan spirits that are within us. Okay, and the main reason I was calling tonight is I wanted to mention that. And George, I wanted to see how I could talk to you all. The Father and I just published another book, the second book that we've just published.
Okay.
And it's called Behold, a Greater Than Jonas Is Here. This book that we just published reveals the secrets that's been kept since the beginning of the world. And
all right.
What I just kind of revealed one of them to you is it's our Father that allows all these to happen to us and it's because of our disobedience, not listening to his voice. If we listen to him, he promises to keep all that away from us. And even if we stray away, if we come back to him, I was just listening to that in Second Chronicles today, he promises to forgive us if we return and pray to him. So, you know, and I was wanting to see if I could, I don't know if I need to send you all a book or...
Yeah, we're going to probably need to see it, but I'm going to put you on hold, David, and Tom will get your information, and he'll give you an address. You can send it to him, and then we'll go from there. But, Lon, what do you think of his thoughts that it's God, basically, that does some of these things?
Well, just like I said at the very beginning, every magician has to plug into God first. From the very technical point of view, magical point of view, he's absolutely right. Everything is all an aspect of that one supreme singularity, that one supreme consciousness. So no argument there.
Thomas in La Jolla, California is with us. Hey, Tom.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing. And do you want a reading afterward, Tom?
Sure, that would be great.
All right, great. Go ahead.
Lon Milo, this is a marvelous conversation, and you're obviously an encyclopedist of magic, etc. You know, this is my personal opinion, Lon, is that Crowley and magic were introduced into the American arenas in the 1940s, 1950s, not directly through Crowley, but through Hollywood and through science fiction. And, you know, in the science fiction arena, you had Robert A. Heinlein. And when they published his letters after he died, he talked extensively about Aleister Crowley and magic and his interpretation of that and how he conveyed that through his stories in the 1940s and 50s. And then you had Hollywood and, you know, obvious people like Kenneth Anger and that, and also music. And it seems like through those arenas, magic was introduced into the American consciousness. And I was curious if you would speak about that.
No, you're absolutely right. I always say that every magician is an artist. A true magician is a true artist, and every true artist is a magician, whether they call themselves that or not. They are. To be a musician or a magician means that you're an artist, and magic is an art. And you're absolutely right about. There was something about there was a magic environment that hovered, I guess, around Hollywood. In the Crowley actually visited in the 20s, the idea of especially the development of expanded consciousness type art forms like science fiction. It was all centered in Hollywood. My magical teacher, Grady McMurtry, hung out with Ray Bradbury and Ray Harryhausen and Forrest Ackerman and Heinlein. They were all part of that same group. It's just like the movers and shakers of our modern space program. Jack Parsons was among that crowd. They've got a whole television series now about Jack Parsons called Strange Angel.
My friend owned Forrest Ackerman's house.
Did he?
Yep. And he doesn't anymore, but... he owned that, which was quite a trip. And I have on my Los Angeles bulletin board, Lon, a letter from Ray Bradbury who reacted to a story we wrote in our then After Dark newsletter about his I Sing the Body Electric Twilight Zone script.
Oh, and he loved it.
Anyways, we've pulled the tower card for Thomas. What do you think?
Oh, Thomas, the tower card is very exciting. Okay. It's an explosive moment. It corresponds to the Yi Ching hexagram that is called the arousing or shock. So it's a card that represents a shocking moment that's followed by a feeling of wonderful release and relief. Even in the Yi Ching hexagram, it sort of paints a picture like when somebody goes boo, and then both of you laugh afterwards because it feels the tension has been relieved. So it's an explosive moment. Maybe just brings with it a momentary fear, but followed by probably a feeling of relief and
that's a great reading there for Thomas. Good luck, Thomas. Tom's a great caller. Candy in Remus, Michigan. Welcome to the show. Hi, Candy.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, I was just really fascinated. I'm just starting to learn about tarot cards, and I was just wondering if you could pull a card for me.
All right, we will
awesome.
Do that. Let's do it right now. And Lon, her card is the Nine of Swords.
The Nine? Ouch. Ouch.
What does that mean?
Well, draw another card.
Yeah, the card's the card. Go ahead.
The card's the card. Okay, the Nine of Swords is...
And we got a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. It might even indicate a level of illness or suffering on one level or another. But it's also indicative of being faithful and patient, especially in things that you know that you're going to have to endure. It's a very unselfish card, but it often pops up when there's some illness in the scene.
Is the illness the person or somebody they know?
It could be in the surrounding things. People oftentimes people who are caregivers get the Nine of Swords even when they're not ill. They're in an environment of where they're dealing with the suffering of others.
We're going to come back in a moment with final calls with Lon Milo Duquette right here on Coast to Coast AM. And again, his Facebook website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. His latest book is called Son of Chicken Kabbalah. Interesting title, isn't it? We'll be back in a moment. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook if you would. And we'll be back in a moment with Lon Milo Duquette and final phone calls with him on our next Coast to Coast program. We're going to talk about the incident at Devil's Den. It's an amazing UFO case, followed, of course, by those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment with Lon Milo Duquette. Let's go to Monique in Sunland, California. Hi, Monique. Are you there? Nope. I guess not. Let's try Pat in Minneapolis. Hi, Pat. Go ahead.
One of my sisters told me that the Gnostic stories have a thing about Jesus' mother sold his baby bathwater because it was so healing, and she was kind of an entrepreneur because if you read some of the stuff that isn't in the regular Bible, like the infancy gospels, Joseph wasn't such a great carpenter, so she needed something. But anyway, I told her, I probably would have tried it on some old shoes and a tree that wasn't bearing fruit, and then I would have been a distributor for it. But what I'm wondering, you seem to know the Gnostic. Are you Gnostic yourself?
Gnostic is a big, pretty big term. Yes, I'm a bishop in the Gnostic Catholic Church.
Oh, okay. Because I'm thinking of trying to study some of that stuff. Now, do you think that story is accurate according to your studies?
That story hasn't come up in my studies.
Oh.
But
so are all Gnostic Christians?
There are hundreds of different stories and traditions and things, and obviously much more went on than we are reading about just in the four Gospels. So,
are all Gnostics Christians?
No, not well.
I think they are, aren't they, Lon?
Gnostic Catholic, not Gnosticism, predated Christianity, as far as.
So some of them, it's like the Jews aren't Christians, but they share some of the same tradition.
Right, right. There are Gnostic, there are Christians that are Gnostics.
Okay, that
but
might
not,
be.
But all not all Gnostics are. Are Christian, and indeed there's some that have a much more universal way of looking at things. Of course, they revere and honor.
Were there writings of the Qumran? They aren't the Dead Sea Scrolls, I know that. But weren't some things found in caves in another country in 1947 or 48?
I don't know what you might be talking about in particular.
Well, we know the Dead Sea Scrolls.
The writings of Hippolytus more or less encapsulate, because so much of the Gnostic documents and material were destroyed by the early Christian church, some of them were preserved by a fellow named Hippolytus, who wanted to at least preserve them as an example of the terrible heresy of Gnostic thought, and in doing so he sort of succeeded in making a time capsule that tells us pretty much everything that we do know about them today. So look into the writings of Hippolytus, but the early Christians like the Cathars and different sects all were influenced by the Gnostics, and the Jewish cults, especially the Essenes, were very Gnostic in nature, and is now called the pagan cults of early Arabia, just prior to the coming of Islam, those cults that are labeled pagan right now, those also had Gnostic influences. So it's a big term, a generic term. Some Gnostics actually think that matter itself is evil, and some don't. So you can get almost completely opposite philosophies in both calling themselves Gnostics.
Lon, if you had an opportunity to talk to Aleister Crowley, what would you ask him? That one question.
Oh, I would ask him, when was he kidding and when was he not?
Well, maybe he never was.
Maybe he never was. Yeah, there are places where it's obvious that he's having people on, but also he had this almost I don't want to use the word supernatural. But he had a profound sense of being the classic divine trickster.
Trickster in a funny way or trickster in an evil way?
trickster in a funny way.
Ah, see, that does happen. Lon, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for, again, being on the program. Lon Milo Duquette, he was on one of my Beyond Belief shows a couple years ago. You can still watch that by going to beyondbelief.com, and his latest work is called Son of Chicken Kabbalah. Now, those of you who are brand new to Coast to Coast, one of our heroes is a fellow by the name of Morgus. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi.
What door? That door there?
Hello?
Hello. Hello, George.
Morgus.
George Morgus in New Orleans.
How are you?
Oh, George, am I glad to get to you.
My
God. You know, our telephones were all down through the hurricane, and, of course, we've got it all fixed up now, and I'm really, really moving along with this lab now, George.
Oh, thank God. You know, we talked to you briefly after Katrina, but your phone went out, and we didn't know what happened to you. So you're okay, and your family's okay?
Oh, George, listen, everybody, Chopsley's right here, Dr. Chopsley's here, and Eric, everybody's in good shape here. You know, George, we did evacuate over there because I'll tell you why. The city, you know, had a mandatory evacuation, but there's no way I would ever leave this lab, George. You know what's in here.
What is there?
Oh, you know, George, come on. You know, some secret stuff we talked about. And granted, you know, everybody would like to get in here. This is why we've got to stay here and protect it. I tell you, no, and besides, I'm probably the only building in New Orleans that had electricity and utilities 24/7, you know.
Well, I'm glad they're rebuilding. I'm glad you're rebuilding. And now you were in the city ice house, right? What happened to that?
Well, which one, George? What was that?
Weren't you in the ice house?
Well, absolutely. You know, this has been here about 200 years. It was an old tanning factory. It used to have alligator skins and muskrats, you know. But back in the late 1800s, it became one of the first ice houses in the South. And, of course, we got a hold of it in the 50s here. You were in Detroit at that time.
Yes. Watching you on television.
That's right, sir. Listen, this was fantastic. Imagine us about 50 of getting together. But, George, listen, I've got something. Why I called you is, you don't know it, but I need that audience of yours to know what we're doing here in New Orleans. George, I've come up with something. You know, I've been working with, you know, all kind of microbiology. I've been working with all of the molecular designs for new inventions. And now I've got something, George, that's just going to break your heart. We have, right here in the lab, George, I was working with subatomic particles, and get this, George.
What did you uncover?
Uncover? Listen, I have moved solid molecules across this building. George, I have moved myself with solid molecules through this machine. Chopsley, get away from the machine. I have moved myself out of this room where I am now into a room down the hallway. Electronically, George.
You tele.
I just wanted your people there to know that I could do this. Chopsley, get away from. Not yet. Go ahead. All right, Chopsley. Let's do it for George here. Don't press that button. Press the other button. Press it. Go ahead. That's it.
What's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. I'm in your studio, George.
I'm in the
real Morgus is here. Get over here.
How did you
do that?
I tell you, George, this has been a thrill.
You guys were in on this.
The whole bunch were in on this, George. Let me tell you, you had Tom, you had Steve, you had Lisa, you had Craig, the kitchen, you had Trevor, Oliver, and the whole gang in this building. They love you, George.
This is incredible.
They brought me here in a company jet.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. Private jet all the way here, George.
They've never flown me in the company jet.
They haven't shown you the company jet, have they?
No, not at all.
Well, you don't want to, George. They stopped in Tijuana with me. I mean, it was wonderful. But they did it all for you, George. You know why? Because they knew you were going to be leaving for Christmas.
Yes.
And they wanted to give you a little Christmas early and a surprise they thought you might appreciate. Have your old friend from Detroit come here
gift.
45 years later to see you again.
This is incredible.
This is really...
You talk about surprise.
What are the odds of coming up with a surprise hotline?
These guys
I had no idea.
These guys did it, you know what? And I tell you what, I was going to bring something here for them, but the transformation, of course, was just incredible. Just coming here like this, and of course, your audience knows that we just pulled a little trick on you here, that I really didn't transport myself like that.
I've got to tell you, we have such heavy security, and to see you come bolting into the studio kind of shocked the heck out of me.
Well, George, have I changed?
Actually, you look younger.
I don't. Oh, my gosh, no wonder. Well, that must be the new treatment I'm on. But, George, I tell you what, just being here and seeing the studio you guys work out of is really something incredible.
It's a little different than the Ice House, isn't
it? I tell you what, that's for sure thing, and I'm sure the rent is a little higher, too. George.
What do you think?
Well, let me put it this way. If I could get everyone listening to this program to get on the same level I am on, and I know this sounds like braggadocio to some people, but, you know, take it as it will. But, friends, I can guarantee you, you can use the mind to do wonderful things. George, you more than anyone know the psychokinesis thing, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, guys, I tell you what, you know the astronaut Edgar Mitchell?
I know him real well.
You
He's
do?
Been on the program several times.
Oh, really?
Dear
well,
friend.
Has he talked about this?
Yes, he has.
Well, I'll tell you that. You know,
a wonderful guy.
You know that the mind has unbelievable potential. And I can tell you right now, you know, if you were smart, George, really smart, if you were up in my level, now I'm not putting you down. I'm not putting you down, George, but listen to this. I want these people
not
to hear
many
this.
People are up to your level.
What, man, well, intellectually,
as much as we might try.
Well, intellectually, I've got to say that because I've got to let them know that there's a chance for everyone to get up there with me, friends. You see, when you're my... Well, you're at my intellect. You cannot do violent things. When you go back the years, well, we're going back to the hominins. You know what a hominin is, you know?
Yeah.
We're talking about people that lived 18 million years ago. They were throwing rocks at each other. And what are they doing over here in France tonight?
They're still throwing rocks.
George, an intelligent person like myself wouldn't do that. If a mugger came up to me right now and said, fella, I'm going to give it to you in the face, you know what? He couldn't hurt me, George. He could not hurt me. You know why?
Why?
I have mind control, George. I can control his mind. I can stop him in his tracks. Now, George, you're going to witness this. You know I'm in your studio tonight.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to do it. Before we leave, I want you to come up to me and you try to take a punch at me.
I can't take a swing at you. And I know you want me to, and you think you can stop my arm in mid-motion, but...
Well, I could do it, George. You know, it's you have to put yourself in a, well, what we call a precognition mode. What we're doing is we're going into abilities, just like you have telepathy or we have clairvoyance. I have mind control. And once you put this precognition state into your body, which I can do just like snapping a finger, it's amazing what happens, George, with the mind being able to control it. It's like putting waves through the air. You won't feel it until you try to hit me, and then you stop. You can't do it. I'm walking up to you right now. Now, look, now don't get frightened. Now, you're my buddy. Nothing's going to happen to me.
Okay.
Nothing's going to happen to me. All right.
I would kick myself for the rest of my
life. I want you
to
give me the best you've got, George. Okay? Swing back. You ready? One, two. Put it right here against the cheek. Go ahead. Go ahead, hit it. Go ahead.
You ready?
Ready. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh.
Well, George. Oh, well, that shit, that didn't hurt at all.
Hand me the thing.
You have a handkerchief?
Unbelievable.
Oh, God, this is embarrassing.
You assured me.
Yeah, what? Well.
This would work.
You know, George, I'm in a different atmosphere around here. This place, you know, you've got black walls, you've got kind of Craig lights. I mean, why do you have it moody in here?
I feel so rotten.
Oh, gosh.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. I think my tooth, I only have four teeth, George. I think you loosened one of them.
Well, why did you?
Don't worry about it, George. We're still friends forever. Don't worry about it. I'll fix it, George. Boy. Well, anyway,
every experiment you do,
George,
something goes wrong.
George, I think it's the lighting in here. I honestly believe it is. this is embarrassing, and I know people will fall out of love for me. But I tell you, friends, it has a great deal to do.
I just want to make sure you're okay.
Oh, I'm perfectly fine, George. No, everything's fine.
Not that you have many teeth left anyway.
Everything's fine. No, all four of them are okay. But nonetheless, it's such a surprise to have the opportunity to try something in front of the whole world here and have a little discrepancy take place.
Millions of listeners.
Oh, listen, I
don't hold your TV show.
Well, I would not hold this against you, George, and I hope people that heard this will just... In fact, you know what? I can make them forget it, George. I have the power.
No more experiments.
No, but I don't want them to remember this tomorrow.
No, they may forget everything, and we don't want that to happen.
May permeate the whole show.
That could be.
God, he cracks me up all the time. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.